بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The topic is Islamic etiquette. Many were the statements mentioned by the Salaf rahimahumullah, the righteous predecessors, in praising etiquette and its people and its merits. Al-Habib Al-Jallab once asked Ibn al-Mubarak, the great scholar of the Salaf rahimahumullah, what's the best thing man had been granted? He said, good comprehension and sound intellect. He said, well, if it is not there, he said, good etiquette. Then he said, well, if it's not there, he said, a good, kind brother to consult with. He said, if not present, he said, long silence. He said, if not present, he said, hastened death. Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, said, كانوا يتعلمون الهدي كما يتعلمون العلم. They used to learn الهدي, guidance, as they used to learn knowledge. And the guidance here that he refers to, etiquettes, manners. Ibn al-Mubarak also in one statement said, rahimahullah, I learned manners and etiquettes for 30 years. And sought the knowledge 20 years. And they used to learn the manners then knowledge. The scholars of Islam classified a lot of excellent works on manners and etiquettes. As Imam Ibn Muflih rahimahullah mentioned in the introduction of his book Al-Adab al-Shar'iyya, the legal manners and etiquettes, he said many had classified, and then he named some of them, like Abi Dawood al-Sijistani, the compiler of the Sunan, and Abi Bakr al-Khalal, wa Abi Bakr Abdul Aziz, wal Qadi Abi Ya'la, and others. And from those who also classified is Al-Imam al-Bukhari in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and also the book of Adab, etiquettes and manners, in his Sahih. Similarly, the book in Sahih Muslim, and the book of Adab in Sunan Abi Dawood al-Sijistani rahimahullah, rahimahullah ajma'in, and the book of Adab, manners and etiquettes, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, and the book of Adab in Sunan Ibn Majah, and the book of Adab, manners, lil-Bayhaqi, and the book of Jami'u Bayan al-Ilmi wa Fadlihi by Ibn Abd al-Barr, and al-Adab al-Shar'iyya, the legal manners and etiquettes, by Ibn Muflih, and many other classifications. The greatest adab and most important adab, which comprises all manners and etiquettes by saying and by action, is that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and his messenger. For in fact, this is the entire deen. And the first of this in rank is having all worship to Allah alone. This is the greatest adab. Having all worship to Allah alone. And this is the greatest benefit of the benefits of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. For he is the one who possesses everything, and the one qualified with all the perfect attributes. And therefore it is not permissible to direct any kind of worship to other than Allah, whether a close angel or a prophet, a messenger or righteous man or creation in any form or any way. And this proves the futility of those who ascribe themselves to Islam from the Quburiyin, from the grave worshippers, and those who frequent the graves and the tombs, and the righteous and the graves of the righteous, hoping to receive benefit from them or to repel harm or to attain some of their needs, while the occupants of the graves possess no ability to benefit themselves nor to ward off harm, not to mention possessing it to others. This is the greatest shirk, which is widespread in the Muslim world, unfortunately. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us all, as in Surah Al-Ankabut 29:17, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَكُمْ رِزْقًا فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ وَاعْبُدُوهُ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. You worship besides Allah only idols, and you only invent falsehood. Verily, those whom you worship besides Allah have no power to give you provision. So seek your provision from Allah alone and worship Him alone and be grateful to Him. To Him alone you will be brought back. And listen to this great verse in Surah Fatir 35:13 and also 14 with it. وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِطْمِيرٍ إِن تَدْعُوهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُوا دُعَاءَكُمْ وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا ما استجابوا لكم ويوم القيامة يكفرون بشرككم ولا ينبئك مثل خبير. سورة فاطر. And those whom you invoke or call upon instead of Allah are not even a qitmir, the thin membrane over the date stone. Next verse please, 14. And if you invoke them, they hear not your call. And if in case they were to hear, they could not grant it, your request to you. And on the day of resurrection, they will disown your worshipping them. And none can inform you, O Muhammad, like him who is all-knower of each everything. From the benefits of this manner with Allah, the manner of worshipping him alone, this has a great deal of benefits. From that is sincerity of worship, such that the worshipper sees that none deserves this worship is Allah. So he directs himself to him sincerely. Secondly, keeps away from riya, from show off in sayings and in actions. Because the one who attains sincerity, then he knows that show-off contradicts the essence of purity of work and action. So all of his works and actions will originate from the base of sincerity. And therefore he will keep away from this, from the temptations of this worldly life. And then he will work to only attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, it will lead to dissociation from all forms of shirk. The second manner or the etiquette with Allah is magnifying Him, magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is because when the believer recognizes the meaning of lordship and he sees the manifestation of Allah's lordship in the creation and in himself, then he will magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the proper magnification he deserves. And this would lead to benefits. This would lead to benefits. This will lead him to hasten to comply and do good, and to keep himself from sins and evil actions. And thirdly, would fear only Allah and would have hope in Him alone. This third manner or this third etiquette leads to the next one, and that is having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the greatest etiquettes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this originates from knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness and His great ability and His justice and the punishments He inflicted in the nations before. This will lead him to contemplate the texts about the threats in the Quran and what Allah had prepared for the rebellions in hell and in the grave. And when the Muslim then becomes certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to punish all the creation if he wishes, and none can stop him subhanahu wa ta'ala, this would lead to a manifestation of fear in his heart, such that he will not take this matter lightly, and it will be a deterrent against falling in disobedience. And if he falls in disobedience, he will hasten to repent. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Az-Zumar 39:16, ذلك يخوف الله به عباده يا عباد فاتقون. ذلك يخوف الله به عباده. They shall have, with this Allah does frighten His slave. O my slaves, therefore fear me. As in Taha also 20:113, قال الله عز وجل وكذلك أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا وصرفنا فيه من الوعيد لعلهم يتقون أو يحدث لهم ذكرا. And thus we have sent it down, the Quran, in Arabic, and have explained therein in detail the warnings, in order that they may fear Allah, or that it may cause them to have a lesson from it, or to have the honor or for believing and acting on its teachings. And this is from the greatest benefits to the Muslim. When is this really a benefit also? in particular when the Muslim is youth, is at young age, where he feels, you know, able, powerful, as to neglecting this aspect of fear, this is a bad manner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a bad etiquette that makes the person vulnerable to fall into sin easily and to transgress the limits which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. From the benefits of having this etiquette of fear is, number one, it leads to avoidance of sins. Secondly, leads the person to come forward in the direction of obedience and compliance. Thirdly, attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fourthly, firmness in the heart. The fourth etiquette is loving Allah and His Messenger more than anything else or anyone else. When the believer knows of the greatness of Allah and of His knowledge and His wisdom and knows the attributes, His attributes, and that He is far removed above every imperfection, and when he knows that whatever of favor we have, it is from Allah, his heart becomes filled with love. This love will be the origin of every love. Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:165, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But those who believe love Allah more than anything else. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam qualified with the most noble character, conveying the message which is good for us, persevering on it, harmed on it, labeled all sorts of labels and insults, calling people to all good, to the path that leads to paradise, warning them from all evil and from hellfire, exerted all the efforts. Every Muslim in this world is a fruit of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam da'wah and conveyance of the message. And therefore, the love of Allah and His Messenger must be above every love. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three matters, if it exists within any one of you, within anyone, he would find the sweetness of faith. And then he mentioned, من كان الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواه. Whoever Allah and His Messenger is beloved to him more than anything else. The Prophet ﷺ should deserve and deserves the greatest love amongst the creatures. As he ﷺ said, none of you will truly believe until I become more beloved to him than his father, his son, and all mankind. And therefore from this, the believer who manifests this in himself everything else that he loves, it will be emanating, due to, originating from the love of Allah and His Messenger. So he will love whomever Allah and His Messenger loves, and he will hate and dislike everything and or anyone whom Allah and His Messenger hates and or dislikes. From the benefits of this love is number one. That the believer will love only the righteous. Secondly, the believer will love the righteous deeds. Thirdly, the believer will hate everything that Allah hates, from the hypocrites, from the kafirs, from the disobedient, from the wicked deeds, because all of this is hated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disliked. Fourthly, hastening to do what is dutiful upon the person, and then increase it with nawafil, with optional, extra, keeping away from everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates and or dislikes, from kufr and disobedience. Sixthly, care to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Care to follow the Messenger and abiding by his sunnah, because this is a proof. This is a proof on the truthfulness of his love, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted this in the Quran in Surah Al-Imran in 3:31. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad, to mankind, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Seventh benefit, it leads to abundant remembrance of Allah. Because the one who loves something, he would be mentioning it a lot. And this remembrance is from the most beneficial things to the heart, and consequently to his limbs, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ra'd in 13:28. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Those who believe in Tawheed and whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah, verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. Eighthly, it will lead to abundant making of Salah upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Making abundant Salah upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this originates from his love settled in the heart of the believer. And also from knowing that merit of invoking Allah to have his Salah, his praise upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ninthly, preservation of the believer in his limbs, such that he will be more active to obey Allah and to abstain from sins, and all of his movements will center upon and goes with his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tenth, Allah's preservation of the believer because whoever loves Allah and is truthful in that, Allah will love him. And whomever Allah loves will preserve him from all kinds of harm. And the one who preserves Allah in his command and his prohibitions, Allah will preserve him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abdullah bin Abbas, احفظ الله يحفظك, be mindful of Allah, Allah will preserve you and you will find him before you. 11th benefit, the response, attaining the response of Allah to that or to the matters requested by his slaves, giving them what they request, as in the hadith al-Qudsi, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ, and if he asks me, I will give him, وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ, and if he seeks refuge in me, I will give him refuge. And this cannot be attained except when the person truly loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the love in Islam entails obedience, entails following. It's not an abstracted love. Inshallah, we continue discussing these matters, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.